Hello, it's Father Jim. We're reaching the second Sunday of Advent. I'm sure there are lots of lights and things for sale and anxieties about Christmas. Where do we go? Who's coming? Oh, help, I've got to look after me. Oh, Mother. I'm thinking of the people who have nowhere to go at Christmas. I remember being on my own 1 year for Christmas. It was all right. I enjoy my own company, but it was a bit lonely. I went to visit my Italian sister once, and she had flu. Her husband was visiting his sister elsewhere. And so she had a baby, and she had flu. So it was just she and I. We had a good giggle. I had brought out a Christmas pudding, a baby one, from London to Rome, and we pulled a cracker together, and in the local market I bought a little piece of turkey breast. That was all right. That was all right. We enjoyed each other. I'm thinking of the people for whom Christmas is an unpleasant time. Perhaps because they have an unhappy home. When I was a child, Christmas was dreadful because my father was an alcoholic. And 3 weeks before Christmas, crates of wine and whiskey and gin and sherry used to come in. And I used to think, oh, help. One of the illnesses in alcoholism that is a family illness is that we tend to lie. I remember telling the man who drove the van, I was 12 at the time, when he delivered all this stuff. Sorry, he doesn't live here anymore. So he drove off. Of course, next day I got into terrible trouble. Who told the booze man that he doesn't exist here anymore? And then sometimes I used to drop a bottle or two on purpose, so that at least that was something less he could drink. Well, made no difference, he just bought more. You couldn't possibly win. But since then, we used to have AA meetings, 3 of them on Christmas Day. It was wonderful. These holy, wonderful people used to have 3 lovely meetings on Christmas Day when everyone else was boozing themselves silly. And I used to go to AA parties. Oh, I'd never understood how people could be so happy without booze. So that is one of the pains that some people have at Christmas. And my prayer is for all those for whom Christmas is a difficult time, that somehow you'll find some peace and not join in the rat race, the vulgarity of it all. I mean, at the real Christmas, our Lord didn't have a rattle, didn't have boxes of chocolates, he probably had some milk from the cow in the stable, that's all. He is our Christmas present. And the love that he has within us is our Christmas present. Please, please don't be extravagant. Part of this awful credit thing in the world is everyone is living on tick. I know somebody who's got 10 credit cards and he can't pay the interest on any of them. It's a dreadful thing to live on tick. And I just hope those for whom Christmas is a worry that you have to impress everyone with the amount you spend, that for a change, you'll enjoy simple things, especially the freest thing, which is affection and love. Oh, you can't pay for that. It's beyond price. Costs nothing. John the Baptist is appearing now. I'm not the bridegroom, he says. I'm the bridegroom's best man. Now, in different cultures, the bridegroom may possibly have an attendant, a special friend. In England, we call it the best man. His role is to get the bridegroom to the church on time and reasonably sober. And then having got him there, he sort of decreases a bit. He might have to look after the bridesmaids or give a silly speech at the reception. He decreases to let the bridegroom increase. And the bridegroom, the Lord, comes to us in all sorts of ways. We hear on one occasion he was late. I always used to say to brides, don't be late, please. Otherwise you'll give the organist a nervous breakdown, running out of tunes. Also, it's very discourteous to be late for your guests. I don't know why brides think they should be late. I think it's highly discourteous. We are their guests, the bride and bridegrooms. You mustn't be late for your guests. In our Lord's story, the bridegroom was late, and I always think that the 10 bridesmaids dived into the reception before the bridegroom came, and 5 of them were under the table, ran out of oil. Let's be alert and know that a bridegroom is coming to into our lives. The one who lays down his life for us. The one who's utterly committed to us. And here is a chance in Advent, getting ready for the coming of the bridegroom, for us to feel engaged to him, to renew our promises to him, to recommit ourselves to the bridegroom who'll never abandon us. Come, Lord Jesus. And whatever role we have is like John the Baptist. We are to decrease, to let him increase in our lives and in the lives of others. Oh, we'll get confronted by our mixed feelings. Yes, the Lord confronts us with his goodness. He doesn't want to humiliate us, though. He wants to humble us and teach us how to return love for love. Amen.